The longest-serving U.S. Congress member has died.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Senator Robert Byrd passed away last night. The Democrat was the longest-serving member of Congress in history, 51 years in the Senate plus 6 years in the House. Byrd represented West Virginia, but his death may have effects far beyond that state's borders as the Senate prepares for a close vote on financial regulatory reform. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joins us live with more. Hi, Jeremy.
Good morning, Bill.
Financial reform seemed pretty final. Is it in jeopardy now?
It could be. As you said, it's going to be a close vote. Senator Byrd was expected to vote for the bill. Now, Republican Senator Scott Brown, who was elected earlier this year to fill Ted Kennedy's seat in Massachusetts, has announced that he may not vote for the bill because he doesn't like that it's being paid for by a $19 billion tax on large financial institutions. Now, Brown was not the only Republican to support the bill when it passed the Senate in May. There were three others. A couple of Democrats also voted against it. So there is some wiggle room if Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid can convince someone who voted against the original bill to support the final bill. Also, at some point, it's not clear when, the Democratic governor of West Virginia will be able to appoint a successor to Senator Byrd until a special election can be held to replace him. But the president wanted to sign this financial reform bill by the 4th of July, so there's not a whole lot of time for that succession process to happen.
And boy, talk about a successor to Robert Byrd. He is an absolute legend in West Virginia.
Absolutely. And in the Senate. I mean, it takes a lot of time in the Senate to get the kind of clout and power that he had. And it's the kind of power that can really impact a state's economy. He brought so many federal offices to West Virginia, an FBI fingerprint center, IRS offices, a NASA research lab, even, Bill, a Coast Guard facility, despite the fact that West Virginia is a landlocked state. And they really loved him there for bringing home all those federal dollars. You don't have to go very far in West Virginia to find something named after Senator Robert C. Byrd.
Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson joining us. Thanks, Jeremy.
Thanks, Bill.
At the G20 summit over the weekend, leaders of the world's wealthiest nations agreed to cut their deficits in half by 2013. That is a signal to the international markets that the governments understand the danger of debt. U.S. officials are warning, though, the world economy is still fragile, and cutting deficits too fast risks another recession. Let's do the numbers. European investors seem upbeat this morning. Shares are almost 1% higher there. Asian stocks were mixed today. The price of crude oil has fallen close to $78 a barrel. It looks like Tropical Storm Alex will not hit the part of the Gulf where BP is trying to stop its oil leak. In New York, shares of the big banks rose on Friday after that congressional deal on financial regulation. The Dow Industrials, though, lost 9 points to close at 10,143. Tomorrow, electric vehicle company Tesla Motors becomes the first U.S. car maker to go public since Ford. Tesla is one of several clean tech companies trying to go public. The problem is several of them are getting cold feet. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Rob Schmitz reports.
Now you see them, now you don't. A bunch of clean tech startups recently filed paperwork to be publicly traded, only to cancel at the last minute. Solar panel company Solyndra was the latest, performing an about-face 2 weeks ago. GreenTech's Eric Wesoff says all these companies have one thing in common.
None of them are making money. None of them are profitable. And none of them will be profitable in the foreseeable future.
And this makes investors nervous. So the venture capital crowd is pushing many clean tech companies out of the IPO gate prematurely, says Wesoff.
Venture capitalists, when they make an investment in a startup, have very strong expectations of an exit from these companies. And that exit can come through either an IPO or through an acquisition or a merger with a larger company.
Wesoff says there's one more problem. Washington lacks a clear roadmap for a stable clean tech market. All the more reason venture capitalists will be keeping an eye on Tesla's ticker symbol starting tomorrow. I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Today, President Obama will commit the government to nearly doubling the amount of available wireless spectrum. Demand keeps growing for high-speed video and data transmission. The White House says it will auction off more wireless space and spend the money it makes on public safety, infrastructure, and deficit reduction.
Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Sugarcane crops were a lot weaker than expected last year, which sent prices climbing. Last week, the price for refined white sugar reached a new high, a 22-year high. Marketplace's Eve Tro found out why.
If you're like me, you put sugar in your coffee each morning, one packet or two, without thinking much about the cost.
And that's kind of the idea.
Jack Scoville is a vice president at Price Futures Group in Chicago. He says the price of sugar nearly doubled last year, but most Americans didn't notice.
We have a very controlled environment. You shouldn't see it increase so much in the grocery store.
He says that's because the U.S. subsidizes sugar. Our buyers pay more than the market price when sugar prices are low, so we can pay less when they're high. Other nations have to follow the market. In many places, alternatives like corn syrup and saccharin aren't part of the food system. Scoville says sugar is an especially big deal in parts of the Middle East, India, and Asia.
They're much bigger consumers of sugar, and it's a much more important part of their diet.
Which is why, when sugar supplies run short, governments get nervous.
That it can create almost a panic situation. People will then start rushing to make sure that they have sufficient supplies, and prices move higher.
Scoville says this year's sugar harvest looks a lot better than last year's. That's led countries to avoid buying at current prices. They'll try to hold out until that new cane is processed into fine white crystals, and the market comes down from its sugar high. I'm Eve Tro from Marketplace.
And speaking of the caloric, the New York bagel isn't dying, but it is wounded. That's the New York Post's take on the consumer trend of ordering your bagel scooped out. A Long Island bagel purveyor says 90% of his customers are now ordering the doughy inside of their bagels removed to cut back on carbs. Disfigured is the word purists are using. Not only that, a nutritionist says scooping out a bagel saves maybe 75 calories. And not only that, if it's just an excuse to fit in more cream cheese. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.